that aside, we're going to dig in here. And we've been on this journey, and Jesus is taking a journey, and it's recorded in the book of Luke that we are now our third year into. And it's an important journey. And Jericho, it marked the last stage of this journey that Jesus is taking to Jerusalem. See, Jesus, he's on his way to Jerusalem where he knows he is going to die. And so this is the last stage of this journey for Jesus. However, it is the first stage of a new journey for another man. As Jesus travels near to Jericho, there is this blind man who is on the side of the road and he's begging. And he hears this commotion going on. And so he asks what's going on, and they tell him that Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. Luke records the healing of this blind man in the section of scripture that we're going to go through today, which is chapter 18, verses 35 through 43. But it's also recorded in the book of Mark, where we're actually told this blind man, he has a name, and it's Bartimaeus. And the same account is told in Matthew chapter 20, where we're actually told that there are two men who are blind on this occasion. But our scripture from Luke picks up at verse 35, and you'll be able to read it up here if you want, or in your Bibles if you have them. It reads like this. It says, "As Jesus approached Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard the crowd going by, he asked what was happening. They told him Jesus of Nazareth was passing by." You see, Jesus here, he would soon pass him by. The man, he at least knew that he was blind. He was in perpetual darkness. See, he knew what his condition was. But he not only knew his condition, but he believed that Jesus was the Messiah. And he knew that somehow he must do something. So one man, he broke the rules of polite society and he created a scene. So our Lord is going up to Jerusalem to die, and he's got these weighty matters on his mind. But he still found time to be concerned over one poor suffering soul. You see, in verse 38, it reveals that this blind man, he's just found out that Jesus is passing through, and he called out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Sometimes those who see clearly are not those who stand out in our society. You know, the rich, the famous, the powerful. In fact, it is this blind man, Bartimaeus, who stands in very stark contrast to the rich ruler that we looked at a couple weeks ago in verses 18 through 34. I'm sorry, 18 through 24. Now, in his choice words, he says, "Jesus, Son of David." This blind man is recognizing Jesus for who he was. He is the Messiah, the promised seed of the line of David. The recognition of who Jesus is the basis of everything else that happens in our story. You see, Luke never stops making Jesus the issue of the gospel. Even today, what you believe about the person of Jesus is the single most important thing in your life. It is the question. It is that question alone that all of eternity rests. Who is this man that they call Jesus? So this morning, as we continue, I want to share with you three abiding truths from the scriptures, three abiding spiritual truths. And the first one is that reason will offer you many excuses why you can wait on getting right with God. You see, that day when Jesus passed by, Bartimaeus, he was suddenly faced with the biggest decision of his life. Would he continue to be dependent upon other people where he felt safe? Or would he go and assume responsibility for himself. And so he chose to cry out. Think with me for a moment here. What rut is it that you are in? Yes, you can continue to blame your parents or your society, your nationality, or maybe just your rotten luck in life. You can blame your self-discipline or say that you had some bad genes that you inherited along the way from your parents. Blame the weather if you want. Whatever it is. And you know what? You're certainly free to do that. But there's a price for that dubious freedom. I don't want you to miss the truth. You see, we don't know that Jesus ever passed that way again. I don't know that he ever passed through Jericho again after this. Don't miss that. Do you know that the average person does not have all that very many good chances to be saved? It could be that somehow you had some narrow escape with death. Times when you have said to yourself, I could have died there. Maybe you had an experience with illness or you had some other real close brush and it really got your attention. It may be that at that time you thought, I don't know if I'm really ready to meet my maker yet. Then perhaps you intended to do something about it. But once the pressure was gone, once that moment had subsided, you didn't do anything about it. Almost 6 years ago, I got this call and my mom had had an abdominal aortic aneurysm and she was rushed to the hospital and we got the call and we all rushed up there and we were in the hospital with her, me and my brother and my sister and Lisa and their spouses. So, and Randy, her husband at the time, and we've all gathered. And the doctor comes in and he tells us what's going on and he says that all the issues my mom is having is directly related to the fact that she was a smoker. She smoked all the time. Then and there, they, and I'm going to say they, it was my brother and my sister and their spouses and Randy, they all said that they were going to quit smoking because they knew what had happened to my mom and it could happen to them. Well, since then, and it's almost 6 years ago, Randy has passed away. He never quit smoking. My brother, my sister, their spouses, John and Linda, none of them have quit smoking. At the time, they had intended to and they knew the consequences. They knew what was going on. But once the pressure was gone, once the situation was over, they didn't get out of it. My mom passed away 10 days later, and to this day, they still smoke. Maybe you have sat in a church service, service after service, and you have felt the tug of the Holy Spirit on your life. The Holy Spirit has been tugging on your heart, prompting you to respond. And you don't do anything about it. Consider with me that Jesus, he never passed that way again. You need to understand that if you allow salvation, if you allow those times when the Spirit is moving in your life, when the Spirit is compelling you to pass you by, you may never get that opportunity again. When you know that you are lost, you know that you have no claim on heaven and you want to change the direction of your life, it is then and there. That is the time to come to the Lord when the Spirit is compelling. The more you resist it, the easier it becomes to resist it. The prophet Isaiah says in Isaiah 55, and it's a warning that is still just as relevant for all of us here today. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. In fact, statistically speaking, the longer you wait, the less likely you will be to make a decision for salvation. Tom Rainier, in his book that's titled The Bridger Generation, he notes that 81% of all those surveyed became Christians before the age of 19. George Barna, he's a research expert, and he concurred and he said that 3/4 of all people who have consciously, intentionally, and personally chosen to to embrace Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior did so before their 18th birthday. The more you wait, the longer you wait, the easier it becomes and the less likely you will be to make a decision. There was a woman who came to Dr. Chalmers one day and she said, "Doctor, I cannot get my child to come to Jesus Christ, to come to the Savior. I've talked to her and I've talked to her, but it's no use." And the doctor, he thought to himself for a moment, and then he said, "Well, let me talk to your daughter by myself and see what we can do." So one day the doctor, he met with the daughter and he engaged in this conversation with her. And he says, "I understand that your mom's been bothering you quite a bit about the matter of your soul and salvation. Suppose I go and I tell your mom that you want her to leave you alone for an entire year, not talk to you at all about it." The young lady, she kind of hesitated, and then she replied, "Well, I don't think it's safe to put the matter off for a whole year. Something might happen before then, and I could die." "Yeah, that's true," the doctor replied. "And suppose we say just 6 months then. How about half a year?" The daughter didn't even think that that would be safe. And then the doctor said, "Well, how about 3 months?" And after a brief hesitation, the daughter replied, "I don't think it's safe to put it off at all." And so right then and there, the two of them knelt and they prayed, and the young daughter received Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior. You see, human reasoning, it may tell you that you have plenty of time to be saved. But that's not always true. The second thing is that religion, it will try to silence your cry for a personal relationship with God. And in verse 39, our scripture tells us, "Those who led the way rebuked him and told him to be quiet. But he shouted all the more, 'Son of David, have mercy on me.'" Now, those who are leading the way into town, some of them were probably the elders of Jericho. And they're irritated by this interruption, this unseemingly disturbance that this blind man is causing. You see, at first, the blind man, he calls out, and I'm not going to get it right, because it's in Greek, and it's called obesion. But when they tried to quiet him down, he cried out even louder, and he cried out, ekazen. It's an entirely different Greek word. See, the reality of it is that he had to yell even louder because he had to raise his voice above the people that were telling him to be quiet, to shut up. But he refused to be silenced by people trying to rebuke him who had no knowledge whatsoever of the misery of his particular situation. So what? Or who are you allowing to silence your request to be saved or to come before Jesus, to be in his presence, to get closer to him? Mike Iaconelli, he works with youth a lot. And he writes, "Threaten others with a loud and a boisterous faith, and you will be politely, at first, asked to quiet down. Dance your faith instead of sitting in your pew, and you will be asked to leave. Talk about your faith with passion, and you will get expressions of concern about the inappropriateness of your emotions. Allow others to see your brokenness, and you will be reprimanded for being too open. Hear the music of faith, and you will be warned of the dangers of emotional instability." You see, if you cry or you pray at the altar, maybe if you sing too loudly, or if you actually were to raise your hands in the middle of a service, what will people think? You see, anyone who does not look like me, or dress like me, or act like me, or believe exactly like me, well, they're kind of threatening to me. The sad truth is that many people want a church that comforts their challenges instead of challenging their comforts. Don't miss that. Many people want a church that comforts their challenges instead of challenging their comforts. Beware of accepting religion in the place of a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And then finally, the reality of faith, it is actually seen in the life that is lived. Jesus, he not only heard the cry of Bartimaeus, this blind man, but more importantly, he hears the pain of this man. And so we're told in verse 41, Jesus stopped and he ordered the man to be brought to him. In Mark's account, it says, Jesus stopped and said, "Tell him to come here." So Bartimaeus, he threw his coat aside, he jumped up and he came to Jesus. And verse 40 continues and says, "When he came near, Jesus asked him, 'What do you want me to do for you?'" Kind of a silly question, isn't it? What blind person doesn't want to see? You know, see, it's not that Jesus did not know what this man wants. It's that Jesus wants him to admit his need. See, in contrast with the rich young ruler, which we did a couple weeks ago, the blind man, he did. He admitted his need and he pleaded for mercy. Blind Bartimaeus, he knew exactly what he wanted. And he replies in the second half of verse 41, he says, "Lord, I want to see." So Jesus says to him, "Receive your sight. Your faith has healed you." Immediately he received his sight and he followed Jesus praising God. When all the people saw it, they also praised God. Let's consider for a moment a comparison between the blind beggar Bartimaeus and this rich young ruler. The blind man was poor, but he became rich. The young ruler, he was rich, but he became eternally poor. The blind man, he claimed no special merit and he openly admitted his need. While the rich young ruler, he lied to himself and others and he bragged about his own character. The young ruler, he refused to believe, and so he went away from Jesus sad. The blind man, he believed Jesus, and so he decided not to go away at all and followed him. This former blind man, he felt so deeply grateful for all that Jesus had done for him that he resolved that he would show his gratitude by becoming a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe that the reality of this man's faith is not seen so much in his healing, which is a miracle in and of itself, as in his willingness to follow Jesus and then to glorify God through it all. We need to reach out and trust, just as this blind man did. Then praise God afterwards, after we receive the blessing, and follow Jesus. If you want to know that you are really a Christian, then take a look at your life. I mean, take a real good, deep look at your life. Who do you follow? What are the great ambitions that drive you? The one who has really come to Jesus for salvation is always known by the general direction of their lives. They're following after Jesus, trying to be more like him. You see, God, he has no policeman who will grab you by the neck and say that you must read your Bible, you must go to church, or you must give to missions. When God created man, he created us superior to all other creatures. He gave us the power and the privilege of choice, and he's not going to force you to do anything. But with the privilege of choice goes the terrible responsibility of living with the results or the consequences of your choices. Each one of us here this morning has a choice to make. If God's been dealing with you, you can choose to obey. Don't leave here today without responding. Don't let any of that human reasoning stop you. Don't let religion or any other person try to persuade you from having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. But no matter what, the choice is ultimately yours. And you alone have to live with the consequences.